holiday weekend. And thankful for the country we live in, even though it's kind of messy right now. We're still thankful for it. And so, you know, I always say that we need to read God's Word and to understand it, know the story behind it, know the context of it, but also we need to learn, we can memorize it too, and that is good too. And one of the things we need to do is learn how to experience some of the Scriptures that have the power that God says that we need to express in. And so I was, me and Carla went at a pastor's wives retreat, and usually if we go to one of those, they're all like super laid out and scheduled. So Phil and Pat invited us to one for a few years now, and Carla kind of moved forward in it and did it last week, and it was really good. And it's a lot of rest, a lot of I want to say kind of not a lot of nothing, because I read a lot, but it was really good. But during that time, the phones usually don't work, but I did see a text there, and I was pretty excited to see that Mr. Jeremy, you know, the Scripture tells us that when we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins. That's what He does. He forgives us of all of our sins. And so when we ask for forgiveness of that, and we read that, we understand it, and then we experience the forgiveness of the sins and things that we've committed. But also in Matthew chapter 7, it tells us we need to ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and doors shall be open. James chapter 5 tells us that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So if you keep reading Scriptures, you begin to understand they're not just words to read. This is why a lot of you are missing blessings in your life. You're either not reading God's Word, or you're reading a little bit of it, but you're not letting it apply your life. Listen, a few months back, Jeremy asked a few people to write a letter for him. And this letter was to expunge his criminal background, his history, things that he committed. Now, through Jesus Christ, those are gone. Scripture tells us that He forgives. He wipes them away. But Scripture also says you have not because you ask not. And sometimes what God loves to do is hear your impossible questions. To hear your impossible asks. And you believe Him enough, and you have faith in Him, He'll do what a human cannot do. And so today, Jeremy, a brother of ours, is sitting here forgiven, just like you and I. But also in the world, he has no criminal record now. It is erased and expunged. I don't know if you know what that means, but he is sitting there just like some of us that have no record, just like you. Who can do that? The Lord. The Lord can soften hearts. A lot of people, it's one of the hardest things to accomplish. You're asking the world, which does not forgive, to forget and put it aside. And the world would do that. But God intermingles in the highest of courts, in the highest positions in the world, and softened hearts and hardened hearts. So today, I just want to let you know that Jeremy has a clean slate. In the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also in the eyes of the world. Whew. I'm telling you, that's something to jump around on. That's something to get excited about. And that's what, if you miss it, because sometimes we want to say, well, what about me? Well, you know what? Start getting excited about what God is doing in other people's lives, and then start looking at yourself and saying, well, how are those things happening? It's because people trust in the Lord. Put their whole faith, let God turn their whole life around. Amen to that. You would be more excited if it was for you. I'm just telling you. You would be more excited if it was for you. Brother, I know me. I'd have been dancing around on my own time. I'd have been dancing around in the pulpit, dancing around down there. Because that's what I do. And I get frustrated. I get a little upset. I throw my hands up to the Lord. We're going to talk. And usually He puts me in my place. Always He puts me in my place. But my human part comes out. But there's also something else in me that comes out. I know who He is and He knows who I am. And there's no doubts about that. But my thing is, I got a problem. And I want to work it out. I'm going to work it out. I'm not going to babyfy it. I'm not going to sit there. If I got a problem, I'm going to wrestle it out with the Lord. That's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to ask the God to do the impossible. He's done that for me many times. Why? Faith. I just don't believe in Him. I believe in Him. I believe who He says He is. I believe that He still does miracles today, but most Christians are just walking right by Him. There's a miracle today in the house of the Lord. And God just doesn't do Him at salvation. Clean the whole record. Shoo. Ooh, that's exciting. Then we're going to see a baptism just a little bit later. That's exciting. And then we're going to get to see Phil Fisher do his first baptism as a minister of the Lord. There's a lot going on here. We weren't here for VBS, but I've seen a lot going on. I saw a lot of messages when our phones did work in the parking lot. You're in the middle of nowhere up there, man. Can I just tell you, it was really hard. I had banana splits four nights in a row. I picked up a pound or two. I checked that weight scale when I got back. I did. Carla only did it twice. I did it four times. I said, I'm not doing it tonight, but it looks so good. You get the whole bar. They serve you. It's amazing. It's awesome. I mean, I was so stoked when I heard that. Me and Carla, we were excited to hear that, Jeremy. I can talk about that all morning. Man, when I just hear that somebody prayed for something that's impossible and God intervenes, man, I'm ready to talk about that for a long time. Psalm 57, we're going to share some things today. It's where we're going to be. When people get into a tight spot and most of us want to run. We want to run away from the problem. Sometimes we need to run away from it. Just as Joseph did. When that lady kept wanting to, well, basically just wanted to have sex with him. Sometimes you got to run, like Joseph. But Christians, we as Christians, most of the time when things are haunting us and chasing us, sometimes we do need to run, but need to run in a holy way from certain things like we just said with Joseph. When temptation's there, we need to resist the devil and he will flee. We need to run sometimes. But a lot of times we run because of things in our life that's happening because we've been hurt and we have some pain. We have some life struggles and we need to run. And this is a little piece here where David is running from Saul. And you'll read a lot of Psalms about David running from Saul. I want to clarify something to you as we get there. Why was David always such in this moment of running all the time and hiding and things of that sort? Why was all this kind of bad stuff happening to David? And I want to let you know because this. He was anointed. He believed in the Lord. You see, when David's at his highest, when David's faith was ignited to the highest points of many times, one of those was when he defeated Goliath. A little young teenage boy coming down there to fight a man's war, ends up fighting and defeating a giant. That's a great victory. And he has many others as well. But he was anointed by the Lord. We are saved in Jesus Christ, so we also are a target. We are a target for things of not just setbacks or not just pain and sufferings. And we'll get to this a little bit, but there is a demonic world that wants to come after you. But also, just as you guys that are anointed to preach God's word, you're going to have it even more fierce. You're going to even have it rougher. Satan will come and will attack. And we'll chase you because of one thing, not because you're special and you're awesome, but because you have been anointed by the Lord Himself. But here we find out that David is running. It's been a long time running. Verse 1, be gracious to me, God. Be gracious to me, for I take refuge in you. I will seek refuge in the shadow of your wings until danger passes. He knows who he goes to. David does know who he goes to when he is in danger. He takes refuge in the Lord. That's what he does. He says, I take refuge in you. I'm going to go to you. He says, I will seek refuge in the shadows of your wings. Basically, I'm going to run to you. I'm going to get close to you. Because there I know that I have protection until the danger passes. It's what we do. That's what we're called to do as believers. But sometimes we get sulking in our sufferings and our pains, and we hit the bar. We hit an old friend that we shouldn't be with. We hit someone else that we shouldn't be with. We get involved with things that we know are not good for us. I looked this morning, I think I told Carla, I looked this morning on the sheriff's app. I look at it every day to see who's been arrested. I hope I don't see someone that I know, but many times we do. But I said, you know, the five out of the last seven people that were arrested would all have been drinking and driving. It's what people do. They'll run to the bar, going to drink, going to do this because I can handle it. Listen, we can't handle it like we think we can. We got some people in the room that probably say, you can't handle it, because if there's anybody that can handle it, I could have, but I never could have. But people do that today. They do it, and they run. They think things are going to take their pain and suffering away. And this is what people do. But the Christian shouldn't. Amen? We should be seeking the Lord, even in those deepest, dark hurts that we have. And this is a hurtful thing. I'm sure David is thinking, I've been anointed. What am I doing running? I'm anointed. What am I doing running? I'm a believer. What am I doing running? But he runs also for the safety of himself. But he goes in verse 2. I call to God. Okay? I call to God. Most High. To God who fulfills his purpose for me. God who fulfills his purpose for me. There's two things that every human being needs. One, we need to feel love. We need to know purpose. We need to have purpose. Now, when you're living in the world, you're living in the world, its purpose is in it, and the world will say, you do whatever you want. That's your purpose. But God will say, you come to me, and I'll give you a real purpose. He'll give you a purpose that makes no sense in the beginning, but he'll give you a purpose that's bigger than yourself. He'll give you a purpose that is bigger than yourself. Because it is God's purpose. And we know that he calls to God. And when he calls to God Most High. He didn't say, I call to God. He said, I call to God Most High. Always putting God at the top. Always reminding who we are. We're down here. Okay? Always putting God at the top. Once you put yourself over God, you're in trouble. You're going to make stupid choices and decisions. And if you look at your history, you know when you put yourself up at the top, they were wrong and they cost you a lot. They took you down roads that you never wanted to go down. And it took you down really deep, dark alleys. And you found yourself in some deep trouble. But when you put God at the top, you'll find yourself staying on the straight and narrow because that's what he does. He keeps you on his purpose. Listen, if I wasn't on God's purpose today, I'd be doing something else. If you weren't on God's purpose, you'd be somewhere else. But when you put God and let him run his purposes through you, you're going to be on the straight and narrow. Doesn't make you perfect, but it keeps you in those blocks in that lane, that straight and narrow lane. But he doesn't stop. He goes into verse 3. He reaches down from heaven and he saves me. Challenging the one who tramples me. God sends His faithful love and truth. This is where God acknowledges, I know you got a problem. But God doesn't always fix it, does He, right at the moment, does He? There's a process I'm going to show you here. But He says He reaches down from heaven and He saves me. This is the part where He feels the Lord is there. You feel in those moments where you feel like God's not there, this is the moment where He feels He knows He's there. He's reminded that God saves him. Challenging the one who tramples me. That he knows that God's going to take whatever's in front of him, he's going to take care of that. And God sends his faithful love. That's that second thing that we need, right? We need love. We need purpose and love in life, okay? God's showing you that he can do those things in a holy way. Give you a holy purpose and give you holy love. And he sends his faithful love and truth. That's where the dark side is going to show you not truth. It's going to show you something that's not truthful. Always showing you what's not truthful. The enemy is bigger than you. You can't make it through the problem. This is going to consume you. This is going to wipe you out. This is what's going to take you out. You can't handle it. God's going to give you truth that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That you can work through this. That you can become and have a victorious life through what you're living. And where you're at, you may not feel it now, but you seek God out, He will give it to you. But there's a process on getting there. Verse 4, I am surrounded by lions. Here we go. Now this is the deep hole part. I'm surrounded by lions. I lie down with those who devour men. Their teeth are spears and arrows. Their tongues are sharp swords. This is where he's calling out to the things that he sees. The things that this is that dark moment. He's sharing what the problem is. Listen, if you're going to get your problem taken care of with the Lord, you've got to talk to God about the problem. You've got to talk about to God, what is the problem? This is where you wrestle. This is your wrestling moments. This is where it is. And so the enemy is a physical enemy right now with David, but there's also a demonic enemy with David right now chasing. This is it. So both of those can be at the same time. Just like in your life, that there can be your pains and hurts can be caused by spiritual warfare because you're trying to live the godly life that God's called you to do. You're trying to do the things that God's called you to do. They get a little tough. They get a little hard. And what happens is you have this problem, but here it is. You got to call out to God. You got to wrestle with it because demonic is going to keep pounding on you on over and over and over. Verse 5, God be exalted above the heavens. Let your glory be over the whole earth. This is we are called to glorify God. We are called to glorify God even when we are in these running moments. Even when we are in the running moments. Even when Elijah was running, he still glorified God. Kind of hard to see there in moments, but he still was. And God was talking to him. But we see here that we are called to glorify God. We are called to glorify God even in our low moments. This is what defines maturity in Christ and immaturity in Christ. Growing moments come out of these kind of moments. Your growth, spiritual growth, comes out of these moments when things aren't working for you. When you see setbacks, you see things that might be impossible. This is your growing area. God can fix it. With just a moment. God can fix it, but just by a word. But God allows us to go through some of these things for our own spiritual growth at times. But he says, be exalted above the heavens and let your glory be over the whole earth. Okay? Then he goes to verse 6. They prepared a net for my steps. He's not through the problem, but he says, they prepared a net for my steps. I was despondent, which could mean I was discouraged. I was down. I lost my hope. You ever been there? I lost my hope. I'm discouraged. I'm not getting through this. I'm not getting through this. I feel like I'm in a swamp. I can't move forward. They dug a pit ahead of me. And we begin to, we're there. And that can take some time, but also says, but they fell into it. See, it doesn't matter how big the problem is. When you put God at the end of it, it's always good. This is where we make or break. Are we going to let discouragement? Are we going to let being down and discouraged and depressed, a loss of hope? Are we going to let those moments define who we are? Remember a couple of weeks I shared with you the difference I shared with you about suicide. I was preaching on faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love in Corinthians chapter 13. And I came to that part where I was talking about suicide. Suicide, it isn't that they don't love. They love their family. It isn't that they don't have faith. It's that they have a loss of hope. They lose their hope. At this moment here in Scripture, this is where people lose battles. This is where they lose some lose the war of life. But this is where they lose battles. They lose ground when the enemy gets on them and they get discouraged. Let me tell you, that's where the enemy wants you to be. Discouraged, depressed, loss of hope. Put your head in the ground. Be like an ostrich. Put your head in a hole and think the enemy is going to run right by you. Ostrich is the biggest bird in the world, but stupid. Christians are the same way. We sit there and we put our head in the ground thinking our problems are just going to woo right on by. Listen, if it's got my name on it, it's my problem. If it's my finances, it's my finances. If it's my family, it's my family. If it's my marriage, it's my marriage. If it's my ministry, it's my ministry. If it's my sin, it's my sin. Let me tell you, you can't put your head in a hole and think that it's all going to pass you by. When you pull your head up and see if it's still there, it's hovering. And you put your head right back into it. And you think it's going to go and leave. It's not. It's yours. You have to deal with it. And then you get all flustered. And you get angry. And you go through different stages of it. And sometimes we even get angry with the Lord. How many of you have been angry with the Lord before? Be honest. Been angry with the Lord before. You're not the first person to be angry with God. God has thick skin. God's going to work with it. Because He knows that you are human. That you are also flesh. And He works with it. Because you're His children. And then He begins to stir. What God does, He begins to stir something that maybe all the discouragement and all the depression has overcome you. And you feel like this big mass of gray sludge. You just don't feel like nothing. But this little spark comes on inside. It reminds you who you are in Christ. Maybe not reminds everything you are, but it reminds us who we are. I believe the main thing is, I don't belong here. You don't belong here. Even if you got the problem, you don't belong here. He moves into a place what we need to do many times. He says, my heart is confident. Because you start looking around for all the other things that can help you and all the other people that can help you that you think there's nothing wrong with getting a hold of good brothers and sisters in Christ to help you walk through some things. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you really want the help, you got to get with the Lord. He says, my heart is confident. God, my heart is confident. I will sing. I will sing praises. Wake up my soul. Wake up harp and lyre, guitar. I will wake up. I will wake up the dawn. I will praise you, Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. We are called to glorify God, and our confidence needs to be in God. Because when your confidence is in your finances, your confidence is in who you think you are by your last name, or your confidence is in your job or whatever it may be, it's never going to fulfill the kind of confidence that you truly need. You need a confidence that's bigger than you. And when your confidence is in God, He'll pick up where yours drops off. And He says, my confidence is in God, and my heart is confident. Because why? Because my confidence is in God. And then He goes, for your faithful love is as high as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches the clouds. Doesn't matter what you're going through. Even though you might get discouraged, you might not be as faithful, but I want to remind you, God is faithful. God is faithful. Those scriptures we talked about, I was just sharing with Jeremy, they're still there. Even when you're not faithful, they're still powerful. They're not powerful just because you feel like you become powerful. because you got your life right with God. No, they stay powerful even when you're walking away. Maybe backsliding from the Lord. Maybe in a sinful life. Maybe you're still in sin. These scriptures are still going to be powerful. Why? Because God's truth is truth. Other people are using them, experiencing the power of Scripture, while we know that we might be struggling, but we know this. There is a confidant that we can go to, and that is God. We're going to praise Him. He says, your faithful love is as high as the heavens, and your faithfulness reaches the clouds, because God is faithful even when we're not. And I am thankful for that. Because I've not always been faithful, and I bet you, you haven't either. But He is faithful. Amen? And then He goes to this place. He says, God, be exalted above the heavens. Let your glory be over the whole earth. Once again, He puts God at the top. He's praising God. He puts God where God is, exalted above the heavens. Let your glory be over the whole earth, putting God where He is. Some of you in your relationship with God has been strained. Some of you in your relationship with God, you used to be close with Him, but now you have some separation and some measure between your relationship between Him and you. I want to share with you, I'll put on a side note here, I want to share with you what it looks like in our life today through these scriptures. Basically, we come to a moment in life, we're treading along, we're going to work, and all of a sudden, we got a problem. We have a struggle. We got a problem, we got a struggle. Here we do. We call out to God. Is that not what we do? We call out to God. That's what we do. We start a prayer. And usually, it's a little prayer. Right? It's a little prayer. It's a fix quick prayer. Real quick. Fix it, Lord, fix it. And then what happens? We are reminded of His love. We claim His love. And we should. We claim His love. And we're going through it. So the struggle begins. We call out to God. We're reminded of His love. But the struggle begins to intensify. It begins to grow. Well, why didn't God answer it? It begins to grow. And now we start to praise the Lord a little bit. And then the struggle intensifies even more. It grows and gets bigger. It grows and it gets bigger. And then we go and we start praising Him again. And we start praying and praising Him again. But we add something this time. We're not just praying anymore. We're not just praising, but now we begin to worship. Because I believe when you're praying, it is always amazing to pray. It's always a good thing to pray. It's always good to praise the Lord. But when you find yourself worshiping God, you're drawing yourself even closer. You're worshiping Him. And when you worship, you're never asking for anything. You're just worshiping Him. You're not asking for anything. And sometimes I think God allows us to get to these moments of struggle and pain and suffering so that we might get to the place where we're not just praying, but we're not just also praising, but we're also worshiping. We're doing it all. And let me tell you what happens when you start to worship the Lord with your problem. You are actually now beginning to turn the problem over. You're letting go and giving it to God. And when you turn it over, see, some of you just missed what I just said. Because you think praying is always going to fix it. You got to pray over it. And you got to praise the Lord. But when you get to the worshiping part, you get to the place where you're saying you worship because you're acknowledging God on who He is. And you're acknowledging who you are. And that you have this issue. But you just keep praising God. And then you switch gears and you go back to praying, but you're praying about it now differently because you've been in the presence of God and worshiping. And then your praise begins to change and adjust. And through worshiping, you always find out that your problem is never as big as you thought it was. And even if it is big, you'll realize that it's never bigger than God. And even if you have to go through the problem, you'll find out that God is enough. You have to learn sometimes to worship Him, even with a broken heart. But He's still worthy of praise. And then what happens is through time, encouragement comes. God gives us encouragement. And then we stay faithful until we get the breakthrough. Listen, I don't pray because I don't want a breakthrough. I pray because I want a breakthrough. I hope you all know what a breakthrough is. And then in the end, when I get my breakthrough, you get your breakthrough, you have something that you couldn't buy. You have what those other people do. You have what those other people talk about. You have a testimony about a problem, a struggle that God brought you through. Nobody likes the struggle. Nobody likes the middle part. Nobody likes the intensity of how it rises. But that's all part of the testimonies. You that have shared your testimonies, aren't there some pain in them? There's some pain in those testimonies. But when you let God be a part of it and you have a testimony, you've come to realize that that's not the exciting part that you talk about. It's the pain and suffering. What you want to talk about is how God brought you through. And you can share it with someone else. Because you get excited about what God has done in your life. And so you testify. Let me tell you what Jesus did in my life today. I spoke for Jeremy today about what God has done in Jeremy's life. But you know what that was? That wasn't a struggle or a pain. He did whatever he did. It's on a record. This is how awesome God is. Sometimes, more than you think, God gives the desires of your heart to you. It's kind of the wants. We pray for our needs, but how many times do you pray for the wants? Now Jeremy has a fresh testimony in his life. This year, let me tell you what God has done in my life. He can share what God has done, how Christ is forgiving of his sin. But let me tell you something else. What God has done in my life is what no person can do. I asked God to take away my criminal record. And He did it. He did it. And you know why God did it? God did it because Jeremy asked, but also that God's name be glorified. Because He's worthy of glory. That's one of our purposes. God redeems us that we might glorify Him. 1 Corinthians tells us that. We were made to glorify God. God takes our setbacks and pains and sufferings that we might call out to Him, wrestle with it, have confidence. God will bring us through. And God will. He'll do it. And when He does, we tell the world, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. And when we do that, we are glorifying God. Amen? Never give up. Send it up, right? Prayer, praise, worship. Do whatever you got to do. Keep the Lord in it. Wrestle. Put that thing in a headlock. You may feel like it's got a headlock on you, but let me tell you, you pray. You keep praising. You keep worshiping through what you're going through. And I want to hear some testimonies in this church. There's not enough testimonies in this church because not enough people are getting to that spot where they're turning those things over to Christ. Amen? I'm going to do my best in this world to live for Christ. I'm going to mess up just like you. What I will not be known for is walking away, quitting church, quitting God. I ain't got I got too much of a prime history with God. And I believe you do too. Father, we're going to take a moment here to pray. To open up our time of response or whatever that, however, whoever you want to do, whoever you want to work with. Then we can respond to whatever you have for us. And we might be obedient. We might learn and know today that we can trust you and have confidence in all that you do. That we might know that the scriptures are not just there to learn and to read, but they are. But there's much more than that, to memorize, but also to experience the power of your scripture for the things that are good for man. We love you and we thank you and we ask, Lord, that you be with us through this time, that your name might be glorified. In Christ's name, amen.